We'll open up to the book of Ephesians. How long are you going to be on this book, Gary? How about till we're walking in it?
Amen.
You know, it's good to study, show yourself approved. It's good to be increasing in the knowledge of God. It's better to be walking in the truth of God. And that's our endeavor now. We're going to walk in this. Now today we're specifically going to look at the fiery darts of the wicked. Because even though it's true what we've been saying, that the book of Ephesians is the New Testament parallel to the Old Testament book of Joshua. And we know that because in Ephesians 6 here, in verse 12, Paul writes to them, he says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Well, when he says that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, he's drawing an analogy directly back to when Joshua led the people of God into Canaan to possess the land. They did have to literally fight against flesh and blood people, the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, and all the other ites that were there. But those are all allegories and types and shadows of the kind of battle we're fighting. We're not really fighting against flesh and blood people. Well, some of us aren't. We're not supposed to be. The battle he's talking about is against spiritual forces, the whole demonic kingdom, what the Bible calls the kingdom of darkness, the authority of darkness. And we've already talked about how God has delivered us from that authority. Why, how did he really do that? Well, before, while we were under that authority, we were children of darkness. We were born with that sin nature, and therefore darkness had authority over us. And we've taught already that once you become a child of God, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The part of you that is born of God is light, and in it there is no darkness at all. That's the new creature on the inside of you. That's the person, what we refer to as the new nature. It is your spirit. It is the part of you that is spawned from the loins of the last man, Adam, Jesus Christ himself. Ephesians will tell you that man, that part of you, is created from, you could say, from the get-go, created in righteousness and true holiness. There is a part of you, say, "Thank you, Lord, by grace." Say, "There is a part of me, by grace, that was created in righteousness and true holiness." There is righteousness in me. There is true holiness already in me. Hallelujah. And Paul goes on with that truth and he says, now we need to put on that man. And he's talking about bringing that nature that we have now, the light. See, authority, again, I have to keep saying this because he keeps saying it. Darkness has no authority over light. When you walk into a lit room, the devil can find no dark switch. How do you turn on that dark that overpowers the light? It's absolutely impossible. Now, if the light goes out, we put it out. We agreed for it to go out. All right. Everybody cringes when we get to that part. Anyway, it's the truth anyhow. Well, now we've been looking at this, and oh yes, okay. Let me finish now. So the analogy from Joshua. Well, what's the book of Joshua about? Is it about the people of God all hunkered down and hiding and just trying to survive, while the devil comes and attacks them from all sides? Is that the book of Joshua? The book of Joshua is about God's people has come to take the land. And the devil is on the run. Now, for sure, the devil put up a fight. And he has strategies trying to stop that. But the analogy is clear. We've read this armor of God in the whole battle here. Like, oh, we're just supposed to hunker down within the four walls of the church. We're just trying to make heaven now. Oh, he's attacking from every side and we've got to be careful, you know. No. We are the children of light, the offspring of God himself. It's our command to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're supposed to go and take this planet for our king. And to do it in love, not do it by force. To do it by faith, not do it by fear. Not do it by intimidation, but do it through the same weapons that our Lord used. Faith, love, all of the things that are mentioned here in this armor of God. Well, so we're on the attack. Say that. I'm on the attack. For the kingdom of God. Now see, when we get to, and he starts telling you, well, if you're going to attack, you need to be dressed like a warrior. So we've been going through this, the armor of God, piece by piece, starting off with the belt of truth. And that's not only knowledge of the truth of God's word, and you better know the truth of God's word. I mean, that's almost like, okay, that's a given. But it's really beyond that. And you can take, if you assimilate, I hope you're still assimilating the book of Ephesians, because you'll see the progress of it. But well, you don't have to look just at this passage. It's in the whole book. He lays out the spiritual truth. Christ has been seated far above. He's high above, and you have been seated with him. Where would that be? Far above all principalities and power. He's given you the spiritual truth, the spiritual side of it. But then he goes, so you guys need to put on that new man now. Okay, not just know the knowledge of it. Well, how would I do such things? Stop lying to each other. Oh. When truth is no longer just something on the inside, but truth has begun to manifest on the outside. Oh, you mean you want me to walk in truth? You want me to quit lying? You don't want me to be evangelistically speaking anymore? You want me to tell the truth? Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, and then he says, so we start off here, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. We've talked about that. And then last time we specifically talked about, no, time before that, we talked about the breastplate of righteousness. Now, we're going to really look at the shield of faith in a minute and look at the righteousness of Christ, because that is your shield. But what he's really talking about here is not just that appointed righteousness, or let's say the positional truth of righteousness. He's starting to talk like, if we are the children of light, we should walk as children of light. Where that righteousness, see, and again, you follow it through. If you assimilate Ephesians, he'll get to that part. Let me show you. Just back up a little bit. You don't have to go very far. Back up a little bit here. He starts talking about walking in righteousness. So here you go, starting in chapter 4, verse 28. We could back up to where he says, quit lying, but this is good enough. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. How was this guy stealing? Well, he didn't have a job. How was he surviving? Friends, family, or the church? And if you're disabled, that's one thing. But if you're fit to work, able to work, the Bible says get a job. I'm going to prosper by my giving. I'm not against giving. But the Bible says if you want to have to give, get a job. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but I'm not preaching to the choir everywhere that hears my voice. All right, verse 29. Now, the whole church is walking in this. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. He's not just talking about cussing. He's not just talking about dirty jokes, although it includes dirty jokes. If you want to know what he's really talking about, finish reading the verse. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. He's talking about gossip and slander and you forever telling other people about your mountain. It does not minister grace to everybody around you for you to be telling everybody how God is failing you. Going on quickly to the next verse. This is part of putting on righteousness. Okay. I'm not permitted any longer to ignore these things when they come up. I am really glad that my wife Hey, every family could always use more stuff. There's no doubt about that. I don't care what you got. You could be a multi-millionaire, and trust me, you're going to want more stuff. I'm really glad my wife now, who loves me, and I love her, there's no two ways about it, but trust me, any wife can use more stuff. I'm really glad my wife does not go around to the church all the time saying, well, you know, Gary's a good guy and all that, but, you know, we drive an old car. And I wish our refrigerator was a little newer kind. I want water on the door. And my husband, you know this, and my husband that, and would you agree with me that my husband would be a better provider? Do you know we do that all the time? And the devil laughs. Don't have a clue who we are. Don't even understand that we're going around the whole church is the bride of Christ. He is Adam, hairy legs and all, man. We're Eve. We go around talking about, even though we don't use those words, how God has failed me. You're spouting it. That's the way people receive it. Corrupt communication. It's corrupt. It's got to go. And if that's not bad enough, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath. Now, clamor, I could go on. He goes on for a long time here. He gets into fornication and covetousness and all of these things. Well, what's it? What is all that? That's the progression of putting on the armor of God, and it's also the progression of putting on the new man. He's saying that righteousness that you have on the inside has got to come to the outside. You've got to stop fornicating. You've got to stop this evil speaking. You've got to stop bitterness and wrath. I remember to take you all the way back to the early days when I had this one couple that I really, really had ought against. I thought I was justified in having ought against them. Right after I got saved, boy, God started dealing with me right away, going, you're not going to go very far with me unless you forgive them. I don't want to forgive them. I want them to die, and I want to do the killing. I want them to suffer, too. I don't want them to die quickly. You're not going to go very far with me like that. And I'm not going to teach that part, but if I hadn't have let him teach me and bring me to a place of forgiveness, first off, only as I began to do that, then did that open the... Because up until that moment, I was 100% justified and they were 100% evil. As he began to work forgiveness into that situation, then he began to open my eyes that had been blinded to that point to all of my part that caused that horrible situation. By the time it was over, I was praying more forgiveness for me than I was for them. But it did such a change in my character that it's harder for me to judge you now. It's harder for you to judge those around you. You see what he's doing? All of that is a working out of the nature of Christ, because that new man on the inside of us is made in his image. Why do you forgive? Because that's who I am. It becomes part of your nature. It wasn't part of it was positionally, but I wasn't walking in it. He had to, through that exercise, he brought that part of the nature of Christ from the inside to the outside. Okay, can't go on too much more with that. Getting back, I want to get to the fiery darts today. All right, then last week we talked about 15. And that your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm talking about 6:15. And how really that's a twofold meaning. We are supposed to take the gospel of peace to the whole world. What gospel of peace? Jesus has come. He has died for your sins. God is not holding your sins against you anymore. No one dies for their sins. Jesus died for your sins. Now, he has offered you peace with himself. He has come to reconcile you back to God. If you will receive the sacrifice of his son, repent and believe in him, you can be saved. There's no more judgment, because judgment has been carried out in Christ. You can have peace with God. That's the message. But in order to deliver that message, we've also got to have the peace of God. We went through this in great detail last week. Well, the peace of God, that's where you talk about casting the whole of your care upon him because he cares for you. Most people know that verse is in there, but I've been at this a long time. I counsel a lot of people. Trust me, most people are not walking in a high level of peace. They're walking in a high level of worry and fear and intimidation. I sum it up usually this way. Oh God, oh God, oh God. We're about to die. Don't you care, God? Reminds me of the disciples on the boat when the boat's about to go down. Don't you care that we perish? And they had to really work to disturb Jesus out of his peace. Same storm. He's asleep on the pillow in the back of the boat. You know? Boy, if that's not a picture. I'm not going to reteach that one either, but I want to give you, just in case. See, most of us are trying to go to war, and we're at this point, we've got our belt of truth on. We're trying to walk in truth. We're trying to walk in righteousness. We've got our breastplate on. But, you know, here it comes now. You have to have your feet shod with peace. Not only deliver peace, you've got to walk in peace. Well, and Sue told me I'm going to have to get a newer example. Most people now don't know who Barney Fife is. Hey, that's newer than Wally Cox. Dave uses Wally Cox, and they don't have a clue who that is, you know. I don't know who he'd use today. Let's say the proverbial 90-pound weakling. You know, the little guy. Here you're going to go to war against the devil. Again, you put on truth, you got your breastplate on, and you're coming against him. You're shaking like a leaf in the wind. You're all fearful and worried. I come against you. I rebuke you. I don't know. I got to find a newer example. Barney Fife, come on. No, you're going to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Because what the enemy does, part of these fiery darts we're going to look at, he's going to send every kind of circumstance your way. He is the master of circumstance. He's going to send fiery darts that make you think you're anything but a child of God. Temptation's going to come. Opportunities to worry is going to come. And if he can't attack you directly, he'll start attacking through your family or your friends or your job or your circumstances. Then the whole idea is to say, well, we'll just see if you can cast the whole of your care. We'll see if you walk in any real peace or not. Well, if you start really walking in peace, like Paul said, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is of a good report, think on these things. Boy, your feet will become shod with peace. You're ready to draw that sword out. Said, enemy, I've come to take the land. Yeah, but what about all this? My God takes care of all that. I have cast the whole of my care upon him. That leaves me free to take land away from you. Is that good stuff or what? We've got to have our feet shod with peace. But there's no doubting, even though we are on the offensive. Now here, the one we're looking at really today is the shield of faith. But what's the purpose? Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Well, I believe this progression is in here for a reason. Now it says it covers all. The things that have been mentioned so far, truth, righteousness, and peace. And those fiery darts are primarily aimed at those three areas of your life. Truth, righteousness, and peace. First off, notice it is the fiery darts of the wicked. I brought one of those Greek definitions. It's a long one. Fiery darts of the wicked. Let me give you the Greek word used there is poneros, P-O-N-E-R-O-S. And it's derived from another word which just means hurtful. It means to hurt. It's hurtful more than anything else. The synonyms that it gives, I like the first one, bad. See, I can understand bad. He shoots a fiery dart and it's going to be bad. You're not going to like it. All right. Evil, grievous, harm, lewd, sexual connotation, malicious. It is designed to bring you great harm. Malicious, malice. You ever hear of malice aforethought? Malice is where you get malicious. It's intended. He intended when he launched it to hurt you bad. All right. And wickedness. Now, boy, if you don't get anything else, get this. When I was meditating this, wickedness appears in two forms. Normally we think of it in terms of sinful. There's a real sinful, worldly type of wickedness. But the other manifestation of true wickedness is religion. Who was it really that put Jesus on the cross? It was the religious people. It wasn't, the Romans legally did it, but they were stirred up by who? The priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It was religion. I like to say it this way. Religion put Jesus on the cross. And it'll be after us too. When we really come to take the land and we start coming against many of the traditions that have been held for so many generations and none of it's true. Doctrines of devils. And we start proclaiming those are doctrines of devils. Like Jesus did, walk right up to the most esteemed in the land, right in one of their camp meetings. You're a child of hell. And you're full of dead men's bones, you snake, you viper. Unless you repent, you will die in your sins. Yeah. Trust me. Fiery darts are coming your way. And they're going to be bad. And they're going to be full of grievous and harm. And they're intended to take you out. And it can come in all sorts of forms. It can come in press coverage. It can come in lawsuits. He can also come in ways of attacking your family. What do you think is going to happen when... Okay, let me just do it a different way. The legal system in our land right now, the decisions that are being made by especially the courts, not even giving the people a chance to vote, where they're establishing, I'll say it this way, same-sex marriages. Legal. I don't know how else, I'm not going to avoid it. Legalizing same-sex marriage. Pressure is going to come on the church real strong. Not to resist that. Not to speak against it. Fiery darts are already, the enemy is loading up his cannons with fiery darts right now. They're going to come against you in every way. They're going to try and take away the legal status of the church. And that's okay. Well, I don't mean it's okay. I just mean... it's not going to change what we do. It may change how we function. It may change our financial structure, and that's not all bad. Okay? But see, that what I'm saying is you stand up right in, as the nation more and more and more goes the way of perversion, and you stand up as a light amidst the darkness, you don't think they're going to follow you home? You don't think they're going to egg your house just to begin with? You don't think they're going to intimidate your children? You don't think they're going to try and put you in prison? Did y'all know during the communist era of Romania, when Richard Wurmbrand, many of you don't know who that is, he's the founder of Voice of the Martyrs, and he was in prison 14 or 15 years for preaching the gospel. All that time he was imprisoned, did you know the communists allowed three denominations to function in Romania with big fancy churches? Did you know that? But the doctrine that they taught was closely guarded, closely watched. No true power of the gospel was allowed. But they allowed religion. The devil has no problem with powerless, false religion. In fact, he encourages it. No, it's when the children of light stand up and begin to take the land. And not only proclaiming the gospel, but the full gospel. I love full gospel. Where the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. And where we stand up and proclaim it right in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation. Same-sex marriage is evil. And it always will be evil. They're going to come. Fiery darts are going to come. Well, the only answer for fiery darts, according to this, is the shield of what? Shield of faith. Now see, where in the world do you start talking about faith? There's whole ministries based on faith. We could teach for the next 5 years on faith and not exhaust the subject, and I'm serious. So I was asking the Lord, in connection with this battle, I'm seeing my mind, here comes the army of God, book of Joshua, New Testament, here we come, and we've come against all the ites, the same-sex ites. All religions are the same ites. There is no God-ites. We've come against the ites. Okay, we're trying to take the land. Amen. And here comes the fiery darts. I remember I saw Jerry Seville can be really funny. Did y'all ever see Jerry Seville? I don't know if you. He was teaching on the this imagery. He says, "Man, I had my shield of faith up, and that devil's been firing fiery darts at me so long. It's full of fiery darts, and my shield's so heavy I can hardly hold it up anymore. But I got to keep." So the Holy Spirit came and helped me. You ever feel like that, man? Say, come over here and help me. I'm busy right now just holding off the fiery darts. You ever been like that? I've been like that. Well, when the fiery darts come, the shield of faith. I was going, Lord, in this connection, what verses? What is really in this connect? When the enemy is coming, I mean the fiery darts are coming in every direction. Because he's already mentioned the belt of truth. He's already mentioned walking in righteousness. He's already mentioned peace. What is the shield of faith? Well, what's the purpose of the fiery darts? Is it not to overcome you? Has not the whole world system now, whether it be the what we would call the secular world or the religious world, those fiery darts are coming against you. And the idea is to stop you. You're going to have to overcome. And this verse came in, you know, it's too far away. You don't have to turn to it. Just write it down. You know it anyway. How do you overcome when the fiery darts are just assaulting you like crazy? It's Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, meaning you don't stop declaring the truth. The word of your testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Never forget this. The worst the enemy can do is kill you. That's all. That's all. It's graduation day. I mean, if you ever really get that, you're free. Worst he can ever do is promote me to my heavenly reward. Hallelujah. Worst he can do. They love not their lives unto death, meaning no matter the fiery darts, I'm coming anyway. But they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Now see, that breastplate of right, there's no doubt in my mind that the shield of faith is placed here for a reason. Trying to get you to walk in truth, trying to get you to walk in the righteousness that you truly are, trying to get you to walk in peace, and then all of a sudden now we got these shield of faith. Why? Because the enemy is going to send these fiery darts to take away the truth. He's going to send temptation trying to get you to take off that righteousness. And he's going to send circumstances against you, your family, your friends, your house, your church, trying to destroy your peace. And boy, you better have the shield of faith. Because ultimately, from God's point of view, now we're trying to bring that righteousness to the earth, but see, ultimately, you're not going to overcome him by your own righteousness. When he sends the fiery darts, whose righteousness are we depending on? By the blood of the Lamb. Paul says, I'm not trying to establish my own righteousness, which would be by the law. I've laid all that aside as far as my... No, he says, my trust is in the righteousness which is by the faith of the Son of God. We have something the first Adam never had. We have the blood of the Lamb on the mercy seat in heaven where it cannot be touched, cannot be taken away. We have it forever. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful not only to forgive us, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Something that Adam did not have. We overcome him. When the fiery darts come and he starts telling you what a slime you are, I'm not the only one he does that to, am I? Okay, good. I'm in the right church. All right. And he starts telling you, you're such a slime, you're such a worm, you dog, why would, who do you think you are? Well, when those start coming, now, you know, that's not a time to depend on your righteousness. You've got your righteousness behind the shield of his righteousness. Can you see that? You're wearing righteousness. And if you're like everybody else I know, yours is in some state of maturity. Mine has definitely got a ways to go. I need more layers of thickness in my own. You know what I'm saying? It's a progressive walk, the way I understand it. But that shield is not progressive. That shield of faith is complete. That shield of faith was given to you by the Word of God. That righteousness, the true righteousness that quenches every fiery dart, is not your own righteousness. The one you hold up that's headed towards yours. See, the fiery dart can't hit your righteousness when you hold up his. Can you see the imagery? That fiery dart can't disturb your peace when you hold up who you really are, what Jesus has done for you. It's because of him you're seated in a place of authority at the right hand of God, not by your own works. That shield of faith, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I'll show you one other place by two or three witnesses. Go over to 1 John chapter 5 for just, well, you can turn there or just write it down for later, whichever one you want. See, I told you there's two kinds of wickedness. One is the world's kind, you know, sin, you know, just normal, what we'd call wicked. But really the more subtle one and the more, yes, sir, the more dangerous one is the religious kind. Yes, sir. More preachers fall to the religious side. Now, plenty of them fall to the sin side. You know, again, run off with the secretary. Run off with the money of the church. Or run off with both. Okay? We have plenty of that. But see, what the other subtle, the more subtle fiery dart, when you start really understanding righteousness and you start trying to walk in it yourself, you know, and you're just like he says there, putting away fornication, putting away all these things. What was it that caused the devil to fall? What is he at his core? He is pride. He is pride. And that more subtle dart comes in that vein to preachers. You start becoming a little more righteous and you're the tendency, if you're not careful. Boy, you start judging those around you that just walking a little bit less righteous than you. Before long, you become an agent of the enemy. Judging God's people in a similar vein to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Cause more trouble than five missionaries can put out, you know. Just, you got to be careful. Pride. Look at this balance. You come one Sunday and I'm teaching strong. You're children of the light. You're seated in heavenly places at the right hand of God with Christ. You are the righteousness of God in him. You got to take authority over the devil. And then, boy, you know, you go, yeah. Yeah, that's who I am. You got that right. I'm not a slimy dog worm anymore. Where are you seated? You think I'm seated next to Daisy, but I'm seated next to God. See? Then the next, and the idea is we're supposed to start walking in more boldness and authority and understanding who we are. But then right on the other hand, I see you go around the next week judging everybody. So you got to come out. Oh, you are humility. You got to humble yourself in the sight of God. And so now you're humble and you're meek and you're little and you know. Well, what? And I vacillated back and forth trying to understand that for so long until finally, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, finally came alive. Looking unto, he is the perfect. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is who you are at your core, if you'll allow me. Here we have Jesus himself, the Son of God, spotless, absolute righteousness, never once committed sin. They bring to him the woman caught in adultery, caught in the act, brought her, drug her off the bed over there. What do you say about her? I say, let her go. What? Why? Well, I'm going to die for her sins. But at the same time, he says, now go and sin no more. But he is the perfect balance of authority, boldness, knowing who he, and not afraid to say, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. We should not fear to say, because I am a Christian, I am the light of the world. The light is in me. I've come to bring light into a dark world. At the same time, absolutely humble to the will of the Father. 100% yielded. Even at great cost, Father, not my will. In the garden, to where great sweat drops of blood fall through the ground. It wasn't easy in his humanity. Not my will. Not my will. The perfect. Do you ever struggle with God's will? Well, if you haven't, you will. On this path, you're at the wrong church not to enter into that. You're going to enter the school of Gary and Jimmy Miller. God, you said what? You said, you want me to do what? Yeah, you may sweat some of your own blood before it's over. It's okay. But looking unto Jesus, he is the perfect balance of the pinnacle of authority, yet absolute humility. I recommend, if you haven't heard it, I hardly ever recommend my own series, but I will. This one, it's called The Serving Son. Jesus is the Son of God who came to serve. Not to be ministered to, he said. No, I have come to serve. And that is the same image, that is the same nature that's on the inside of you. We need to not be afraid of who we are and understand the boldness of, and have the boldness of who we truly are, seated at the right hand of Christ, far above. See, you tend not to think like this because of the circumstances, but we are truly far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And at the same time, you're a slave to God. You're a son and a slave. Who is like that that I can see an image of? Looking unto Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. You want to see that balance? There you have him. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That's you. It's who you are. Bold as a lion. Complete yieldedness to the Father. All at the same time, the serving Son. I like it. Hallelujah. Oh, I never read 1 John 5, did I? 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. And see, we're talking about the shield of faith by which we are able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. This verse says, for whatsoever is born of God, and that should be whosoever. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Well, who is he then that overcomes the world? What is that faith he's talking about? Who is he that overcomes the world? He just got through telling you, you overcome the world by faith. Faith in what? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That faith right there does away with all doctrines that suggest every path leads to God. There's only one who came to die for the sins of the world. It's not good enough to trust in Muhammad or Buddha or Confucius. None of those things are true. See, the first thing we have to put on is the belt of truth. None of those things are true. They're all lies. They're all based on lies, founded on lies. That's the very darkness that we're supposed to take the gospel to. And again, I have to recommend this. I don't get any discount or any fees from the Voice of the Martyrs. But boy, in America, you need a wake-up call. You need to, on the cover of this month's, this little girl that's been burned. Let's just say it this way. Christians taking the light into the darkness. In this case, the Hindu darkness. The darkness of Hinduism in India. Boy, last year there was such an uprising. Again, they burned so many churches and they, in the course of it, they would kill people and burn. People got burned. This one got burned. It's terrible. A little girl, I think 10 or 12 years old, something like that. And do you know that even at now, Voice of the Martyrs helped, with surgeries and everything. She looks a lot better now. Do you know she's still standing strong for her witness for Christ? We want to sue Starbucks if our latte is cold. When you start really taking light into darkness now, the fiery darts are going to come. We're not talking about this. This series of messages is not about those who are just trying to make heaven and they want God's blessings from I-4 and no more. We're recruiting warriors. We're raising up an army to take this planet for the kingdom of God. We're going to have on this armor now, and I mean be fully dressed in it. And our shield of faith, when you hold that faith up, fiery darts are going. Here you've come to proclaim light. How do you do that? Jesus is the Son of God. Where are you teaching it? Right in the middle of a Hindu land. And they say, if you don't stop that, we're going to attack your family. We're going to burn your house down. We're going to kill your kids. Remember what the devil told? Dave's been telling us the last 2 weeks. Remember what the devil said? I'm going to kill you. He says, if you could do that, you would have already done it. Well, then I'm going to kill your family. I'm going to destroy this church. Well, fiery darts or no fiery darts, what does Dave say? I'm not moving off this path. I'm not moving off this path. This is where he sent us, and this is where we're going to go. I'm holding up the shield of faith. Jesus is the Son of God. That's our message to the whole world. And as we hold that up, you think the enemy's not going to come against you? You better have that shield of faith up. How do you do it? I overcome you, devil. By the blood of the Lamb. By the word of my testimony, no matter what fiery darts you send, I am not compromising my testimony. And you can threaten me all you want. I don't love my life unto death. Worst you can do is send me to heaven. To depart and be with Christ is far better. But it's more needful that I stay. Hallelujah. Y'all getting anything out of this? Well, the days of playing church are over. Yes, sir. Go back to Ephesians for a moment. Ephesians chapter 1. Oh, my. All right, now, this is one of those times when he knows the Bible better than me. One of those times. This is just one of those times when you get to see it. Yes, sir. I believe it's 1 Thessalonians 5. You can stay in you can keep a finger in Ephesians somewhere. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5. This is what I do with fear and trembling. Not 1 Timothy, that won't work. Or 2 Timothy. Where is it? It's ahead of there. 1 Thessalonians 5. There it is. Let's just start in chapter 1. Start in 1 Thessalonians 5 in verse 1. Why are you starting there? Because that's what I hear. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Look at this. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. My goodness, look at this. You are the children of light. He knows the Bible better than me. Who are we? The children of light. The children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. See, what got me started on this path, I was so distraught after We lost a member that I dearly loved here at this church, and I so thought she was going to overcome that battle. And we lost her, and she went to heaven, and I was so angry and so disappointed and so hurt, and I can't imagine what her husband, what it was like for him. And I kept praying about it night and day, saying, God, what is wrong? What in the world? How are we going to stop this? And in a dream, he woke me up. In this dream, he gave me the answer. And there was a problem in the dream that's not even important. I don't even remember what it is. But in the dream, I heard God say, the answer is Ephesians 5:14. And hold your place in Thessalonians. Go back. That's where we're going, apparently, in Ephesians. Ephesians 5:14. I don't know the Bible well enough to know that by heart. But I remembered when I woke up. Boy, I went right in there and started. You know, what I use at home is my computer Bible all the time. What? Ephesians 5:14. What is it? What's the answer? Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead. Christ shall give thee light. It's telling me the whole church is asleep. His whole body, the only body that he has on planet Earth to do anything through, preach the gospel, raise the dead, heal the sick, drive cancer out, save nations. The only body he has, he's talking to it, and it's asleep. Awake! Wake up! Wake! I've got light for you. Then he started telling me, Ephesians, it's the answers in Ephesians, your authority over these things, it's here. And I started studying it again, and Lord, I remember back 20 some odd years ago when I first stumbled onto some of the teachings on the authority of the body of Christ. I mean, old notes that I had, and I was going, God, I've studied this. He says, yeah, you've studied it, but you're not walking in it. Amen. He said, study is good, but it's not the same as walking in it. See, I got saved in 1980. For 20, let's see, 80, 90, is that right? 90, 2003, yeah. 23 years. I continued to smoke as a Christian. For 23 years. Romans 6 did not change. The Word of God did not change. My position in Christ did not change. My shield of faith was there the whole time. Based on the blood of the Lamb, not my works. He loved me. He used me. He did miracles through my hands as a smoker. I know that's hard for some of you Pentecostals to believe, but it's true anyway. Hey, by the gifts, he does people that's in... Anyway, I don't even want to go there. But the truth of the matter, for 23 years, the truth was I was free. For 23 years, that's the truth. But I was asleep to it. He had light for me that I was not walking in. And I was asleep. It took a vision from God, which I've told you before. I could take you right to the motel room where it happened, back up in New York, where he dealt with me. And I stepped across into the truth that was there the whole time. But I stepped into the room. And I've been free ever since. Now, I was free the whole 23 years. What I mean by that, I've been walking free ever since. The point of that, there is a difference between positional truth and the truth you walk in. All right, we've had this authority ever since you've been born again. It goes all the way back to the cross. The church has had this authority. We really have it. We don't see it. I was free from smoking. You didn't see it, but I was free anyway. But you didn't see it. The truth doesn't change, but my walk in the truth did. We have this authority. We've had it the whole time. What the world is about to see is us walking in it. Walking in it. And he says, you got to wake up. I'm not going to give you new truth. You've got to walk in the truth that I've already established. And if that means changing your doctrine, changing what you believe because your daddy believed it and his daddy believed it and his daddy believed it. If it's not true, throw it out. Wake up. The whole church needs a wake-up call. That's why one of my prayers now is, God, don't be so nice to me anymore. And he loves to be nice to you. I love Lily. Y'all know I love our granddaughter Lily. I had to smack her. I was sitting out there on the front porch with her yesterday. It was a pretty day, and she was playing in the little rocks and had her little truck and, you know, little toy thing, and she's playing and driving it over the rocks, and suddenly, without warning, I'm sitting in the chair on the porch. She's not 3 feet from me. I mean, how close can you be? And she just looks at me and grins and runs for the street. Running faster as a little leg. Boy, that little girl, the legs ain't that long. It's amazing how fast she can go. Headed running for the street. Papa goes, Papa's not as fast as Papa used to be. You know. No, I'm doing everything. No, stop. I mean, there's cars out there. No. It's about halfway there. My heart's a thumpa, thumpa, thumpa. I get her. No is not enough at this point. Man. Why? I love her. She needed a wake-up call. You're asleep to the truth, girl. Papa loves you. Papa's trying to protect you. Papa's trying to help you. You think you're having fun. You don't have any idea what you're going towards. Now you need a wake-up call, girl. Later on, she just loved on Papa. Papa loved on her. Church needs a wake-up call. I don't want him to be so nice to me if I'm running headlong into the street just stupid and blind. Now, you understand, I love my granddaughter as I say that, but she has no idea the danger. See? Needs a wake-up call. We need a wake-up call. We have no idea the truth of what he's done for us. We have a little bit of head knowledge about it. Hey, I have a little bit of head knowledge about an airplane. Y'all want to go ride with me? Who wants to go ride with me today? I know there's a thing called a yoke. I know there's a throttle. I know a little bit. I got some head knowledge about airplanes. Who wants to go for a ride? Nobody? Hallelujah. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians for just a moment. Verse 5. It says, you are the children of light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. You are all the children of light. And the children of the day, we are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, man, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober. Now, isn't this something? Putting on. Here we go with the put-ons again. Putting on the breastplate. Now, here, he calls it the breastplate of faith. Over there, he called it the shield of faith. Same writer, right? Paul wrote Thessalonians, yeah. Paul wrote Ephesians. Same writer. But here he's calling it the breastplate of faith and love. And for a helmet, the helmet of salvation. Over here he calls it, what did I say? No, here he calls it the hope of salvation. I'm so used to Ephesians 6. In Ephesians, we're going to get into that next probably, verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation. Here he calls it, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Isn't that something? For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Now see that hope of salvation? Man, that sounds a whole lot like they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. See, that's my only hope of salvation. It's not in my righteousness. It's not, I don't care how much, I don't care if I develop that breastplate of righteousness where it's bright and shiny and I'm walking just, boy, just really good. That's still not my hope of salvation. The only hope I have is the blood of the Lamb. That's the only hope that I have. Well, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves, brethren, and edify, build each other up, even as also you do. Well, I think we've come to the end of this morning's lesson now. That shield of faith, I want to remind you one more time. I don't think it's a coincidence that the Holy Spirit, through Paul, mentions it right here. You got to walk in truth. You got to start letting that righteousness come from the inside to the outside. You've got to develop peace. You've got to become a person who walks in peace. That those three areas, for sure, the devil is going to send fiery darts. What shield are you going to raise up? Your own righteousness? You going to trust in that? You going to trust in your own ability to walk in peace? No. What quenches every fiery dart? You hold it up there. It is the shield of faith. That faith is in the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. What quenches every fiery dart? The blood of the Lamb. Everything I have is by grace, not by works. It's a free gift. I quench your fiery dart. I have the blood of the Lamb.